Jai.
Shiva.
Go ahead. Sri Indra Uvacha. Indra, the king of heaven, said, Prachanitaha, recovered. Padama, O Supreme. Bhavata, by your lordship. Trayata, who are protecting. Naha, us. Swabhagaha, shares in the sacrifices. Naicha akrantam, afflicted by the demon. Hridaya kamalam, the lotus-like cores of our hearts. Tatgraham, which is actually your residence. Prachabodhi, it has been illuminated. Kalagrastam, devoured by time. Kiyat, insignificant. Idam, this world. Aho, alas. Nata, O Lord. Shushushatam, for those who are always engaged in the service. Te, of you. Muktihi, liberation from material bondage. Tesham, of them, the pure devotees. Na, not. He, indeed. Bahumata, thought very important. Nada Singha, O Lord Nrsingadeva, half lion and half human being. Aparai Kim, then what is the use of other possessions? So, translation, King Indra said, O Supreme Lord, you are our deliverer and protector. Our shares of sacrifices, which are actually yours, have been recovered from the demon by you. Because the demoniac king Hiranyakashipu was most fearsome, our hearts, which are your permanent abode, were all overtaken by him. Now, by your presence, the gloom and darkness in our hearts have been dissipated. O Lord, for those who always engage in your service, which is more exalted than liberation, all material opulence is insignificant. They do not even care for liberation, not to speak of the benefits of kama, artha, and dharma. You can repeat. King Indra said, O Supreme Lord, you are our deliverer and protector. Our shares of sacrifices, which are actually yours, have been recovered from the demon by you. Because the demoniac king Hiranyakashipu was most fearsome, our hearts, which are your permanent abode, were all overtaken by him. Now, by your presence, the gloom and darkness in our hearts have been dissipated. O Lord, for those who always engage in your service, which is more exalted than liberation, all material opulence is insignificant. They do not even care for liberation, not to speak of the benefits of kama, artha, and dharma. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this material world, there are two kinds of people, the devatas, demigods, and the asuras, demons. Although the demigods are attached to material enjoyment, they are devotees of the Lord who act according to the rules and regulations of the Vedic injunctions. During the reign of Hiranyakashipu, everyone was disturbed in the routine duties of Vedic civilization. When Hiranyakashipu was killed, all the demigods, who had always been disturbed by Hiranyakashipu, felt relief in their general way of life. Because the government in Kali Yuga is full of demons, The living conditions of devotees are always disturbed. Devotees cannot perform yajna, and thus they cannot partake of the remnants of food offered in yajna for the worship of Lord Vishnu. The hearts of the demigods are always filled with fear of the demons, and therefore they cannot think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The engagement of the demigods is to think of the Lord always within the cores of their hearts. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, text 47, Yoginamapi sarvesham madgaten antaratmana shatavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. And of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The demigods fully absorb themselves in meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead to become perfect yogis, but because of the presence of demons, their hearts are filled with the activities of the demons. Thus their hearts, which are meant to be the abode of the Supreme Lord, are practically occupied by the demons. All the demigods felt relieved when Hiranyakashipu was dead, for they could easily think of the Lord. They could then receive the results of sacrifices and become happy, even though in the material world. So, Sri Indra Uvacha, Aprachanita Padama Bhavata Trayatana Sabhaga Vaicha Krantamriya Kamalam Tadgraham Pracha Bhudi Kalas Krashtam Kiyaridam Mahonata Shushushitam Te Mukti Stesham Nahi Bahumata Nadasingha Paraikim. So, Om Ganat, Miranda Shah, Gananjana, Shilakaya Chakshur, and Miditam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurudevena Maha. So you'll notice one big difference between the glorification that was given by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the glorification given by Indra. And the difference is basically that Indra was, to a certain extent, thinking of himself. I mean, so you could see the difference in the prayers and the psychology there. And Indra was experiencing fear. And his fear was self-centered. So this is the difference between Sakama devotees and Nishkama devotees. The Nishkama devotees, their emotions are based upon Krishna's pleasure and glorifying Krishna. And the Sakama devotees, to a certain extent, it's mixed. You know, karma, misra, bhakti, and of course, impersonalists there, or not the impersonalists, but those who are interested in liberation are jnana, misra, bhakti. You know, it's mixed. So there's the whole aspect of me in their prayers, and you see here in the prayers here. So this indicates, and all anarthas, and not that I wish to criticize Indra, because we're not supposed to denigrate or criticize the demigods. I got to be careful about that, because then the weather patterns will get really bad here if I do that. And Krishna's not ready to lift up the dome to protect us from the rain. So anyway, just analyzing it, you know, from a detached standpoint without criticizing Indra, who, for all intents and purposes, might be enacting a pastime here. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt. So let's talk about anarthas. And of course, anartha means what you don't want, basically. Like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. So in the case of the pastimes of Indra, I'm not saying Indra, the pastimes of Indra, you actually see these different anarthas being manifested. I mean, let's go through some of the pastimes or activities of Indra. Maybe he's just teaching us, you know, just like Arjuna. Like I said, I'm careful about Indra. I'm scared. Because when we first opened up the temple here, it kept raining, and I was angry at Indra, and it kept raining more. So I'm just like scared. So anyway, so let's go through some of his pastimes and see how these anarthas become manifest. I mean, let's take the anartha of envy, for example. Once upon a time, this is a story from the Bhagavatam, you had this great incarnation of Krishna named Prithu Maharaj. And Prithu Maharaj was performing different sacrifices for the benefit of humankind. And that was his whole intention. And then Indra was watching the whole thing take place. And he started to get envious. The more sacrifices that were being performed, the more envious he got. And as they got close to 100 of them, because there's a specific significance to 100 sacrifices. Does anyone know that significance? 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices? What? Indra's post. You know, just like it's just like you're working in the business field and someone is doing better and better, better than you, and you're his boss or something like that. And you're thinking, oh my God, he's going to take over my position. So Indra was envious. And what did he do? He wanted to prevent Prithu Maharaj from performing more sacrifices, 100 sacrifices at least. So he kept stealing the horse. That's Ashwamedha. Ashwa means horse. So anyway, Gomedha means cow. So he kept stealing the horse. And it's interesting that when the sages told Indra's, told Prithu's son, Vijitasura, I think was his name, to stop Indra, Indra, in order to protect himself, kept assuming disguises of different sannyasis. It's interesting, isn't it? And different sannyasis, you know, some sannyasis were naked, some sannyasis had long hair, you know, like Nagababas and things like that. And so this Vijitasva was very reluctant to attack sannyasis. I mean, because he was a cultured man. And the sages kept saying, hey, it's just Indra. And he kept attacking. And then again and again and again, Indra stopped the performance of the 100 sacrifice by Prithu Maharaj. So eventually, you know, Lord Brahma comes down and says, you know, don't worry about it. And Lord Vishnu, don't worry about it, you know, don't perform 100, you know, just keep Indra peaceful there. You know, you would think, you know, let's say if someone was a great devotee, I mean, let's say Prabhupada, for example, I mean, Prabhupada would be very pleased to see the advancement of his disciples. He wouldn't think, you know, oh, this person is preaching so nicely, you know, he's going to take over my position as acharya. Of course, that would never happen, because nobody could take over that position of Srila Prabhupada. But the Prabhupada said when the father sees the son doing nicer than himself, he actually becomes very pleased. He doesn't feel threatened. So Indra, at that point, exhibited his envy towards Prithu's sacrifices. So you had that anartha there. And then, of course, there's the lust anartha when he saw Ahalya, who was very, very attractive. I mean, she was extremely attractive. And she was married to Gotama Rishi. Then he took Gotama Rishi's form to have a relationship with Ahalya. And then he was discovered because he was walking out of Gotama Rishi's house, and the real Gotama Rishi came back at that time. And he cursed him to basically become a eunuch. And, you know, Indra didn't like that particular curse, so he had a transplant for some ram's organs at that point. It's an interesting story. So, and then there's other stories about Viswamitra Muni. He was afraid of Viswamitra Muni's austerities, so he sent down Menaka, and then later on he sent down Ramba. So these are all instances of anarthas. Exhibiting anarthas. And another point, one of the reasons that Indra keeps losing to the demons, in spite of being a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is that he becomes complacent and neglects sometimes his own spiritual master because he's so attached to prophet adoration and distinction, to praise. There's one instance where he was being praised by the demigods and his wife, Sachi, was sitting next to him. Brihaspati walks in, and Indra doesn't even say, you know, hi, Gurudev. What to speak of? Please accept my humble obeisances, Gurudev. He doesn't even say hi, and then Brihaspati just leaves. You know, he's so fried out with the lack of etiquette of his disciple that he just leaves. And as a result, Indra gets defeated by the demons. Indra doesn't have a spiritual master. So then he gets another spiritual master, Visvarup. This is in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. He gets another spiritual master, Visvarup, and that spiritual master has a little bit of affinity to the demons also. Visvarup has three heads. It's nice to have a guru with three heads. That way one head is good for management, the other head's good for preaching. Anyway, I wouldn't mind that. I better not say that. So Visvarup, so he gets this other guru, Visvarup, who just, you know, wants to throw a little bit of remnants to the demons too. You know, no problem. And he's envious of the demons even. And so he gets so angry with his spiritual master, what does he do? He cuts his heads off. So you've got anger, right? Lust, envy, greed. As I said, this may be pastime. Please forgive me, Indra. So you got all these things exhibited by Indra. And so that's what Sakama devotee means, to experience these. I'm going to explain how Nishkama devotees experience these things too, but there's a different focus of them. So Anyway, so we can analyze, I have a little piece of paper here, we can analyze how advanced we are. Let's take the focus away from Indra for a second. Thank God. We can analyze how advanced we are by seeing how much these anarthas have gone away. And there's different sources according to Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, and I'm referring, of course, to Rupa Goswami's analysis too in the Nectar of Devotion, which Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur goes further into the Madhurya Kadambini, of when anarthas go away. And if that anartha is there, we can understand that we haven't really gone further than a particular stage in devotional service. Does everybody understand that? That we can understand, let's analyze... let's go back to Indra again. Just take him as an example. Like his getting worried because his opulences were taken away. Let's analyze where that anartha comes from, that fear. Because anarthas come from several different sources. Anarthas come from pious activities, sinful activities, and they come from the byproducts of bhakti. You know, byproducts of bhakti means you get a position because you're a devotee, or you get praise because you're a devotee. So in this particular instance, my analysis would be that particular anartha of being attached to the position you have is like the byproducts of bhakti. It's coming from the byproducts of bhakti. Because of Indra's bhakti performance, being a demigod, he's gotten certain amenities. He's gotten a certain position, right? Because the demigod positions are not given to to demons. They're given to devotees, you know, generally Sakama devotees. So this particular anartha, it comes from, in one sense, it comes from bhakti. You understand? So therefore, the anartha, it's interesting, the anartha of things that come from bhakti going away, goes away, or goes away, becomes complete, not absolute, at the stage of nishta. So someone who is exhibiting those attachments to such a degree, we can say they're not quite at the stage of nishtha. And of course, that's borne out in other pastimes or other activities of Indra, where Indra just deviates from devotional service. And you can see that, you know, when the Ahalya incident that I mentioned before, right? You know, he doesn't stay fixed in the rules and regulations of devotional service. So, at the stage of nishtha, one is completely free from the anarthas that come from, not only from bhakti, but also from past sins. He's not absolutely free. That means if he's not real careful, it can come back. Absolute means there's no question of coming back. Complete means it's not there. Do you understand the difference? Everyone understand the difference. So, And it's interesting also the anarthas that come from past sins. Let's talk about the anarthas that come from past sins. They're only complete when one reaches the stage of nishtha. And so we have Indra having to suffer from past sins after he kills not only his spiritual master Vishvarup, and he has to suffer the reactions, and then he reparts the reactions to other living entities, which we won't mention right now. And then he kills Vritrasura. And so he's suffering from past reactions. So it's obvious that in this particular example, there's some struggling to come to the stage of nishtha. So I don't want to get too much into Indra here, but it indicates that we can look at our own anarthas and see what stage we're at. And that also indicates our adhikar. Adhikar means our right for a certain platform of devotional service. Because to come to Raghunuga Bhakti, you have to be a nishtha, at least a nishtha. So there's a different adhikar we have for different things. Just like I was hearing from Prabhupada, from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, about adhikar for different stages in the ashrams. And he was talking about sannyas. You know, how one, he was giving the story there. It was an interesting story in the Jiva Dharma, how there was one, his name was Vaishnava Das. You know, he was a very nice devotee. And Lahiri Mahasai was living next to him, and Lahiri Mahasai was staying in his kutir, and a snake came in to his kutir, and he got really nervous and anxious about the whole thing, and then the snake just went out, and he ran over to Vaishnava Das's kutir, and he said, there's a snake, you got to do something, he may be in your kutir. And then Vaishnava Das says, you know, what are you so worried about, basically, you know, Krishna protects you. You know, if you're meant to be bitten by a snake. I mean, this Lahiri Mahasai, he was so nervous, he was ready to leave the kutir, go back to home in Shantipur where there were no snakes. It's an interesting story. So there's a certain adhikar for being... don't have much time. Actually, there's a lot more to talk about this. For being a sannyasi. I mean, one has to be freed from the desire for profit adoration distinction, for enjoying the association of the opposite sex, and so many things like that. And it's interesting, this is another point. The Prabhupada one time said, when he saw some of the sannyasis struggling, he said, actually, none of you are sannyasis. I was just hearing this in the Prabhupada Memories series. He said, actually, none of you are sannyasis. He said, just like if no one's qualified to be a general and you're in a war, then you're going to go through every third person, you're going to point them as as a general, just so things go on. I'm paraphrasing what Prabhupada said. So in other words, there's actually an adhikar for different things. I mean, hopefully, after 67 years in the Hare Krishna movement, I'll have the adhikar to be a sannyasi. But there's... so one should understand where they're at as far as what their adhikar is, according... One method of understanding is according to how the anarthas have gone away. So Fear. Let's talk about fear here, which, you know, Indra was so fearful, and some of the demigods were so fearful that they actually put the Hiranyakashipu in their hearts. Huh? You know, he was just like in their hearts all the time. So then let's contrast that to Krishna dancing on the heads of the Kaliya serpent. And the residents of Vrindavan were extremely fearful too. So, you know, what's the difference? Can anyone explain to me what the difference is? What? They had fear for Krishna. It wasn't, oh, what are we going to do? You know, who's going to steal the butter for us later on or whatever? You know, who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? It's just they were so absorbed in Krishna, they were ready to, like the gopis and everyone was ready, and Mother Yashoda, they were ready to enter in the Jamuna and lose their own lives. And of course, in the Vidugda Madhava, we find the explanation of Radharani can't live without Krishna, so she enters into the Jamuna and she goes to the sun planet. And anyway, there's a whole story like that. And then eventually she comes to Dwarka as Satyabhama. But that's... So the point is that... So the fear is actually focused on... There's still fear. The anarthas are not anarthas at that point, but those things... Fear, you know, if you analyze, all these things are there in the Braj pastimes. There's lust, but lust to satisfy the senses of Krishna. And, you know, there's even envy. And, you know, of course, there's envy between different groups of gopis. That's one thing. And there's envy that you see something, you want it for Krishna. Just like when we go out and preach, we should be thinking, oh, that should be for Krishna, like Prabhupada. You know, he said, you can take a picture of me like pulling in the wealth. You know, someone has wealth. We think, why isn't it used for Krishna? We see a flower, then we want it to be used for Krishna. So there's all these different manifestations. It's interesting because the anarthas and everything else in this material world ultimately is a perverted reflection of everything in the spiritual world. So there's fear there for Krishna. There's lust to please the senses of Krishna. There's anger, right? Radharani has man. Her angry. She's angry at Krishna. So that's a pure devotee. It's not that you get, it's not impersonalism. You get rid of the emotions. So as we read these different verses here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this section of the Bhagavatam, the prayers, then you'll see different people's psychology and advancement in devotional service. I mean, Lord Brahma is a pure devotee, Lord Shiva. You go to the previous verse and you see Lord Shiva. Lord Brahma is just like praising basically according to his understanding, how Krishna creates, maintains, destroys the universe. Then Lord Shiva doesn't say that my heart has had the demon in his demon there. He just says, it's interesting, you've never given demon. Yeah, he was nothing for you. In the last verse, he says, now that this insignificant demon, Hiranyakashipu, has been killed, my Lord, we're naturally affectionate to your devotee. Kindly protect his son. So he's showing his affection for the devotees, too. Kindly protect his son, Pallad Maharaj. So you see, anyway. So by analyzing these prayers, we can see the psychology and the level of advancement or spirituality of the different persons who are making these prayers. Okay? On that happy note, please forgive me, Indra.